Good morning. Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church. I'm glad y'all are here this morning. We're just excited to have Hope Revealed back with us. Y'all give him a hand. I do see our congregation is taking our social distancing and sheltering at home to heart. Amen. Everybody in the parking lot, I wished I could hear your horns, but I can't usually. Blow your horn. Hey, we heard them this morning. Amen. Thank y'all for being out there. Also, if you're listening after a while, if you ever need anything, please just text or email or call us in any way that we can minister to you. We thank you for that. This morning, I just want to read to you as we get ready and prepare for Christmas. I want to read to you from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18 and following, about the conception and birth of our Lord Jesus. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins.' Now all of this took place to fulfill what is spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and we shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.'" Let us pray. Kind Father, we just thank you for the greatest gift of grace this world has ever known, in the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, ascension, and the promised return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the good news of Christmas. And Lord, as we prepare for Christmas this year, I pray that you would just help us to pause. Consider your story. Consider how we can live in it daily. How we can live under the rule of Christ our King. And how your Holy Spirit enables us to have faith and obey you, that all you say will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we get started this morning, just before I asked Hope Revealed to come up, we want to list some prayer requests. Miss Jean Four has tested positive for the COVID. And due to some other issues, she was having some heart issues. They sent her to the hospital. I haven't heard today. Ann and them can't go over and see her. The hospitalist is supposed to call later on and let them know. If they get her doing better, they're going to send her back to Parkview. And when she gets over there, I know she'd have to go to a different wing than the wing she was in. But Ann said that she wanted the doctors to tell her that she'd have to go to the Alzheimer's. But I don't think nothing's wrong with her as far as dementia or anything. Is it? That's what I was going to say. I assumed, but I didn't know if that was still true because the way she wrote the note. Okay, that's good. So keep Miss Jean Four in your prayers. I know she's been texting me back with the Bible devotions I send out every morning. She keeps up with them and responds to them. Also, Miss Rita Craven, she's still up here at Westfield. She is afraid because they've got COVID up there now. And ever who was supposed to be her nurse last night, they sent that person, must have not got, when they got to work, must have tested positive, sent them home. She said what had happened, the way she understood it, they moved some patients to the wrong hallway, is how they had it controlled, and then she's just worried about it spreading. Plus, she wants to get home, and she wants to get her strength back, and she wants to go home. She said that Ronald's going to call today and see about her going home because of this, but I don't think they'll let her because I don't think he can actually get her up and do her exercises and take care of her. Hey, Amos. And take care of her. Also, Mike is recovering. Carol, I'm not sure. She had to go be tested, but I haven't heard the results. The church did. Yes, ma'am. Okay, did her test results come back? Okay, the church took them some food and stuff they needed because they couldn't get out, and I didn't go in though. Now I was waving at them through the door, but she said she was going to go be tested. Also, Miss Elsa, how's your daughter? Okay. Good news. Miss Elsa's daughter is still improving from COVID. Also, Mr. Clausen, he's been under the weather. I think he's out in the parking lot this morning. But it was a cold. The good news is he did not have COVID. He was just dealing with other stuff because we was really praying for that because of his lung conditions there. And so keep him lifted up in prayer. Wayne Sellers, where they'd been doing aggressive chemo, the port got infected. He's in the hospital over here. They've removed the port. Things is going in the right direction. Not sure how they will follow up treatment now. However, you know, Wayne, he wants to go home, but he can't go home till all the infections out of his blood. So be praying for that. And Miss Debbie, as she travels back and forth. Randy and Tracy Walton, Mr. Fred and Carolyn's friends, Randy, and I know Bobby, a lot of y'all know him. He got real weak the other night when him and Miss Fred and Mr. Fred and Miss Carolyn and Tracy was out, and Miss Fred said he couldn't hold his head up. He just kept falling over, and they've still got him in the hospital doing tests. Any news on that? Okay, so, he might come home today, so evidently he's getting some of his strength back. And Tracy, she's had back surgery, so trying to look after Randy with her back. There's a lot going on there. Towton Mitchell passed away yesterday morning at 4 o'clock. Towton's fought cancer for a long time, and it come back, and it spread quick, and they called in hospice Thursday night, and they got the bed and stuff over to his house and got it set up Friday, and he passed away. So just remember his wife, his son, and his mom and dad and the rest of the family. Also, Mr. Gillum for Buchanan Music that helped found that, he has had a stroke, and I haven't heard any more details except for it was a pretty severe stroke, I think, on Tuesday. And so, you know, we do a lot of work with them, and they've really helped us a lot here getting music out in the parking lot and stuff. So remember him. Also, the families that's away and traveling, we got a lot of people out of town this time of year, even though there are some restrictions. A lot of folks, I think, went this weekend because they was worried that they might not be able to go see loved ones later on. And Miss Joy's grandson, how's he doing? Okay. And John Herbert is Bobby's cousin's son. And so she called yesterday and asked for prayer for him. So y'all keep him lifted up in prayer. Miss Teresa, good to see you. And I think you had a birthday, didn't you? Happy birthday. Let's sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, I'm going to ask if Hope Reveal will come and lead us before the throne of worship.
that deathly silence that comes right before we start singing. You never know if it's going to work or not. We are excited to be back home. Wow, what a pleasure it is to be back. It seems like, although it's only been a month or so since we were here, we missed November with you. It feels like it's been too long. Glad to see all of you back and glad to hear the good reports that are coming through prayer requests, good reports coming. Let me just throw one out to praise report. We got a call this week. Bridget, my wife, her father had one of those spells, and we got a little scare, and he just got a little touch of pneumonia, so he doesn't have the COVID. We got the test back, yesterday. So I told at practice Thursday night, I said, just let Mary Ann speak over him, and it's gone. It's gone. There's power when that lady speaks, I'm telling you, and it's gone. And sure enough, that's what we found out. So be in prayer for him. Add him to your list, if you would. His name's Benny Parker, 84 years of age, and just a dear saint of the Lord. And he's going to do just fine. But we're so excited he doesn't have the COVID, as some folks have had to come to grips with. Christmas music, Southern gospel style. We're going to do that all day today. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to sing all Christmas music, Southern gospel style, and that last song was really one that was hard to learn. Kathy threw that one on us and said, you know, this one's going to take a little practice. Y'all got a lot of words to remember. So I think we got our part down. If she could get her part down, we could make that one work. But we are excited to be back. Well, you know, we're back at full force today. You know, Sister Marianne's back with us. Her father's doing better, some better, and she's able to travel with us again, so we're thankful for that.
Marty, before you start, sure. I do have a very special prayer request. A friend of mine, her name is Naomi Smith. She had to have open-heart surgery, and not long after they got her home, her everything busted open. They've had to take her back and do more surgery. She's a very bad diabetic. She's got a lot of complications. She's in real bad shape. So if y'all will remember her in prayer.
Okay, let's see if we can.
She wants to have Someone even went so far as to say that this was the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. Now, beloved, this evening, I don't really know where the justification of all this.
That's a word from my father. How that got stuck in there, I don't know, but yeah, he had something to say today, didn't he? You know, Mark Lowry made this song, wrote this song, and it's sung probably is the most common Christmas song today. Most of our kids that are 25 and 30 years of age, they may not know all the carols that we knew, but they know Mary, Did You Know? And we want Kathy and Mary Ann to sing that for you this morning.
Mary, did you hear that your baby?
Bethlehem. Well, you know, you can tell there's something special about that song, because those of you that know us and have heard us before, you know that Cecil is always singing fast and moving, and that song got the best of him, so... Gonna try to do one now with your help. You know, what's a Christmas concert service worship hour with Christmas music if the congregation doesn't sing some Christmas carols? This is a little different arrangement. The words are all the same, but sometimes the arrangement's going to sound a little different. I'll do my best to sort of give you some signs as to when to hold, give them a chance to catch up, that kind of thing. But if it doesn't work out perfectly, here's what I told him at practice Thursday night. He's got it. We're not singing for you. We're singing for him. You're not singing for us. We're singing for him. Let's enjoy the Christmas carols. Have you got a copy of mine? Because somewhere mine went away. No, I got it right here. There we go. I got it. You'll you'll know most of these. Let's see how the musical group here can lead you in these. So you know that one, right?
Oh.
Y'all give them another hand. And as John Hagee says, give the Lord a hand in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you're out of your Bibles this morning, if you will, turn to Luke chapter 26. I'm looking at my verses. Chapter 1, verse 26. I was going to take y'all to the end of the story. Amen. If y'all remember, we've been studying through Isaiah and some of the prophecies that are fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. And I once read that the prophecies, just if you took 48 prophecies in the Old Testament that the birth of Jesus Christ fulfilled, it'd be like taking a big old bucket and putting like 50,000 BBs in it, silver BBs, and then one copper BB, and trying to pull out that copper BB. You'd have the same percentage of chance of being the person that would fulfill everything that was written about Christ. And so we looked at Isaiah and the prophecies there, and we come to Luke this morning as we're preparing for Christmas. How many people's ready for Christmas? Amen. If you're not ready gift-wise, I hope you're ready spiritual-wise. You know, sometimes if we'd concentrate more on the relationship instead of giving and receiving, we would probably have a more enjoyable Christmas. And as we look at this morning at verse 26, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Lord, we just come before you this morning and thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray that you would guide and direct us this morning in understanding the birth of Christ, what it means for our lives. Lord, that we just understand, Lord, that your plan, that we could experience life with you. And Lord, as we gather today, that we'd purpose in our hearts to live in your story, to live under the rule of Jesus, and Lord, do all things in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you look at this, and it says now in the sixth month, and also it says the angel Gabriel, it ties this with the story or the announcement of John the Baptist's birth. It ties the two stories together. And also it ties it with Elizabeth conceiving and going to give birth to John the Baptist, and Mary, her cousin, going to visit her. So it really ties everything together from verse 1 all the way through verse 56. And when we look at this morning and the situation we have here, we need to see that God is continually working out his plan around us. God is not only telling a story. Now, it says here that he sent the angel Gabriel, and he come from God. So God sent Gabriel with a word, sent Gabriel with a message, not only to Zechariah and to Elizabeth, but also to Mary and Joseph. But God is not just telling a story here. Okay? God is writing a story. C.K. Chesterton once said, I've always felt life as a story, and if there is a story, then there must be a storyteller. You know, our lives, if you think about everyday life, works out like stories. We was built for a story. You know, I've taught about story evangelism. I've taught about two ways to live. I've taught about a lot of that in this church. And a little less than 10 years ago, if you remember, I had us to go through experiencing God on Sunday nights, you know, and I was really hoping more people would got involved with that. That is something that you probably ought to go through once a year and put a Bible study together, even if it's in your home. But it follows these same principles that we see here. God is writing a story. He's always at work around us doing things. Now, Mary doesn't know yet what has happened to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. She finds that out later on in this story. But as Gabriel comes, God is already at work in her life. Now, you see a couple of things here that you need to understand about Christmas, about Jesus coming. One of the easiest verses, I can't see Marty for that plant. Got to watch him, you know. One of the things we learn when we think about Christmas, when we think about God's story, is John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever..." Now, Mona heard this the other night. A gentleman preached a message at her cousin's funeral, and she says, "I want to go back and hear him preach," right? But he said that the Greek word for whoever, you know what it is? Whoever. You know what the English word is for whoever? You know what the German word is for whoever? It means whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish but have everlasting life. Guess what? Jesus comes so we can live. That's the beauty of Christmas. It is about life. God wants us to live in his story. He's writing his Christmas story. Guess what? He's writing you into it. And this is what's happening to Mary. Gabriel comes and said, "Look, blessed one." He says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, some translations say, "The Lord be with you," like this is a wish. I hope God blesses you. I hope God will be with you today. But this is not what he says. This is no Lincoln verb here, right, in the original language. He says, "Blessed or favored one, God is with you." Now, Isaiah preached that 2 weeks ago. 7:14 says what? You can believe everything God says. He wants to be involved in all your decisions. Why? Because he is with you. Here it says, God is with you. You're favored. You're blessed. The greeting really means, in the language there, rejoice. Sing. Be glad. Say something. Now, it is kind of like saying, you know, long live the king. That used to be in Old English. But the word here is the same word for rejoice. In other words, be happy. You're favored. Why are you favored? God is with you. Guess what? He's working all around you. John Piper said he's doing 10,000 things a day, and we are lucky to see one of them. And when we get busy going into Christmas, a lot of times what happens? We don't slow down enough to look to see what God's doing. We're trying to do all our stuff. We got our list, checking it twice. Mona was laughing at my list the other morning because I can come up with some gifts now, you know. So I was trying to help her out. And then she asked me when I got home, "How did you do all this and it get here for you?" I said, "Prime." I got next day delivery, baby. But sometimes when you get so caught up in that, I called my mama this morning just to talk about Christmas. Why? So worried about what to get mama, because I can't think of anything to get her that she really needs. I said, you know, on the way over here, I usually talk to her every Sunday morning, and I called her and I said, you know, I just need to thank God for you, mama. You know, my mama's one of the greatest gifts God ever gave me. My mama prayed for me and prayed for me when I wasn't living the way I should. And my mama just rejoices now. Calls me all the time. "Don't worry about me, because I know God's got you taking care of other people." You know, sometimes we're so busy with the gifts, we forget that God gives us other people. And God works through them people. Henry Blackaby says that God's always at work around us, and that God is always pursuing a loving, lasting relationship with us. And see, whoever stands for everybody. Zacharias and Elizabeth was righteous. They walked in the ways of the Lord. They got older. They weren't blessed. Zacharias was praying. He'd been praying. The angel Gabriel told him, says, "I've heard your prayers." Guess what? Elizabeth's going to have a son. You know, it wasn't just because they was righteous in following God's ways that God was going to give them a son. It's because God was desiring a relationship with them, and he had heard their prayers, and he was going to fulfill his plan in their life. Now you come to Mary. Mary and Joseph are young. They just beginning their life. As they're beginning their life, they've got it laid out. They have got some plans. They're engaged. They're going to be married. They got some plans, but her life hasn't even started yet. What I want you to get about that is God desires to have a loving relationship with you. And as Henry Blackaby says, he also invites you to join with him wherever he's working. Don't matter how old you are. Don't matter how young you are. Don't matter how right you are. And don't matter what you've done in the past. God's grace will forgive you. And God's grace will bring you into that work. And he sends this word by Gabriel because why? God speaks to us. How? Through his word, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, and through other believers. You know, often we try to figure out what God is doing or what God wants us to do, and we don't think about talking it over with other brothers and sisters in Christ so that the Holy Spirit can bring us together so that we have a consensus of what God wants us to do together in the direction he wants us to go in. That's part of being part of the church. Now here we see that God brings this grace to Mary by bringing her a word. Now, think about this. If life is a story, what always happens? You got to have a setting, right? TV show, your favorite TV show comes on. They got to have a commercial. But before the commercial, they usually what? Kind of set up the show, let you know what's going on, give you the situation. So here's the situation. Mary and Joseph, supposed to be married. They're young. They got the whole life ahead of them. Everything is planned out. Everything is good, okay? But then there's some stress enters the situation when we got a story. And then you, what, search for an answer? And then eventually you find a solution. Isn't that the way the stories go? In the beginning, and then they lived happily ever after. Now, everything is going good for Mary, but here she gets this greetings. It says, the Lord is with you. You are blessed. You are favored. And it says here in verse 29, here's where the stress comes. It says, she was very perplexed by this statement and kept pondering or turning over what kind of salutation this was. She's confused, afraid. She's wondering what God is doing, what God is expecting of her. Think about Elizabeth and Zacharias. And then think about Mary and Joseph. Both of those families, old family, young family, wants the same things we want out of life, don't they? We don't want to be afraid. Don't want to be afraid of what's coming. We don't want to be afraid of what's going on in our lives now. We all want family. Amen? Now, we're built for relationship. I know some families are dysfunctional, but we want a family, and we all want to be happy. How many of y'all got up this morning and said, I sure hope I can just stay bitter and mad all day? We want to be happy, don't we? And this is what Mary and him's looking for. Now, this angel comes in, is kind of interrupted. What's going on? Got a message from God. You're favored. Now, when God shows up, most of the time, we have what in distress? A crisis of faith. We got things planned out. Now, I know Marty's better at planning than me because I've watched some of his stuff online. He's checking his list, checking it twice. We got plans. We want to live those plans out. But when God calls us to work with him, we got to be able to adjust our life according to what God's doing. Now, if you remember, if you go back to Ahaz in Isaiah, in the context there, what was happening with Ahaz when he didn't realize that God was with him and make decisions, what he did was he made his own plans. And then he asked the Lord to bless them. Now, how many times we do that? Even in church things, committees, activity. We come up with a plan. God's going to like this. This is going to be good, and everybody's going to be happy. And we go start it, and then we say, oh, yeah, we forgot to pray about it. And we're about 6 months into this thing now, right? And we can't figure out why it ain't working. And we're like, Lord, and we asked him to bless it. Might be the same way with a job. It might be the same way with an investment. It might be something going on in your family and you're not getting along with somebody and you keep coming up with ways you're going to fix it. Sometimes the best way to start is just getting on your knees and asking God to guide and direct you in whatever you're doing. And also be willing to adjust your life. Guess what? The thing you want to do might not be on God's timetable right now. He might be leading you in a different direction. So here, God gives her a answer so that you're not puzzled. You know, you say, well, I don't have an angel anymore, or we don't see angels today. Let me put it that way. Guess what? You still got God's word. When you don't know what to do, when everything else fails, read the instructions. God gives her a word. The angel Gabriel said to her, I love this, same thing said to Zacharias, don't be afraid. You know, I love that show, Touched by an Angel. But, you know, she's just cute. She smiles. And what's her name, Della Reese? She's just, you know, that grandmother figure that's always so wise. But in the Bible, have you ever noticed when them angels show up, they ain't riding in a red Cadillac convertible. When they show up, people fall on their face and say, whoa, am I? And what the angels usually say, first thing, fear not. Don't be afraid. Why? I got a word from you from the Lord. When was the last time you had something going on in your life? You got up in the morning, you didn't know what to do, so you got out your Bible, opened it up, got down on your knees, started reading it, and you was afraid because you knew whatever you was reading, God was fixing to do it, whether you liked it or not. That's the fear, the perplexity that Mary had. He says, do not be afraid, for you have found favor, or God's gift of grace is with you. Luke's already set this up. He's such a good writer. Zacharias means God remembers. God remembers his plan for you. Elizabeth means God is my oath. Guess what? All the promises that God gives you, he keeps. And John the Baptist's name means God is gracious. Do you know what? Whatever God's doing in your life, you don't deserve it. That's why it's grace. It's God's gift to you. He tells Mary, do not be afraid, and he gives her five reasons not to be afraid. He said, you will conceive and bear a child, and you will call his name Jesus. Matthew gives us the translation of this. It's God saves his people. He says, you will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Jesus. He will be great, and it tells why he'll be great. Because he is called the Son of the Most High. And it says the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And it says, he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And fifth, it says, his kingdom will have no end. Now, we've heard this Christmas story over and over. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But you know that you will conceive in your womb and bear a child. And this says a lot about the value of life, the value of birth. And he goes on to say his name will be Jesus. He will be great, and he's great because he's called the Son of Most High. And understanding in the Jewish thought, Most High means God. He will be the Son of God. He's not a son of God like the emperors thought about. He is the Son of God. And when Luke is writing this, that means in essence, everything that God is in character, Jesus Christ is also. And he goes on to say that he will reign over the house of Jacob, and he's because he has the throne of his father David. This is the promise God gave to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, saying that your throne will have no end. Now he tells David, you're going to have a son. He's going to build me a house of worship, talking about the temple. But then he goes on to say about Solomon, and when he disobeys me, I will discipline him. Solomon was not the promised son that would rule forever. He was the son that started off good and made some mistakes. This son is the Son of God. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I am a virgin, since I have known no man, in other words, since I've not known a man intimately. I said last year when I was teaching on this, I gave you a little update on how marriage worked in the first century. You would be engaged, betrothed, and then finally married. the couple stayed together. Why? For a year to make sure that what? Both of them was pure. That they had not had any relations outside of the marriage. You stayed together a year. Now, Mary is going to have a child. They're going to have it before they're actually been together as husband and wife. She's not doing like Zacharias. Zacharias asked, you know, how am I going to know this? I need some proof. Yeah, I won't. How many times you ever witnessed to somebody and you share God's word with them and says, well, I don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, but I know you can't do this, this, and this because God's word says not to. And people ask me, well, how do you know that? I said, because God's word says not to do it. Well, how do you know that? Because if you read through the Bible, every time somebody does it, they get in trouble. It works out badly for them. But you say, well, I need some proof. I had a young man ask me here a while back, how can I believe in God if the book that tells about him was written so long ago? I shared this a few weeks ago with y'all. Tell anybody that asked you that same thing I did. You sit down and read it from the index to the maps and tell me one thing in there that doesn't line up with the reality of the way you see the world happening. God's word is always true. His word will not let us down. She is not asking for proof. She's asking, how can this be since I am a virgin? In other words, what am I supposed to do? God's got a plan for each of y'all this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. Might be good, might be bad. Might be happy, might be sad. Whatever's going on in your life, God has got a plan for you. And do you know all that you got to do to make that happen? Is to believe and obey. See, that's what Mary said. What's my responsibility here? That's what she's asking. What is my part in God's grace towards me? To believe God and obey him. That's what got the world in such trouble to start off with. Failing to believe and failing to obey. The angel answered her. So here's the solution to your problem, Mary. You don't know what God's doing. You don't understand your part in it yet. You wanting to fulfill your part. You don't know what to do. You're not sure how God's going to work out all the details. So here's what the angel tells her. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren or dry or cracked or desert-like or with death is now in her sixth month. Mary, understanding the Old Testament, when she hears this about Elizabeth, what does she think about Abraham and Sarah? She thinks God can complete the impossible. That's what in Genesis 17. Remember God said, nothing is impossible with God. Jesus, in chapter 18 of Luke's gospel, when he tells the rich man what he must do to enter the kingdom of heaven, the rich man's like, yeah, but I need some proof. I don't know. I kind of like the way I got things going now. I'm not sure about that. And what did Jesus say? He asked this question, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven? And then he goes on to tell about a camel and a needle, and I've heard all kinds of stories. You know what that means? It is humanly impossible to stick a camel through the eye of a needle. That's all that means. You ain't got to have no gates. It's humanly impossible. But it's the same with salvation. Did you know that it is humanly impossible? And Marty's a nice guy. Looks good, dresses good, drives a nice car, got nice equipment. But did you know it's humanly impossible for Marty to save himself? But Jesus says nothing is impossible with God. Because I sent my son. See, right here we see something that's remarkable. Two of the greatest mysteries in the history of the world is the Trinity and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And both of them's right here. How's this going to happen to me? The Holy Spirit's going to hover over you. He'll overshadow you. Just as God created the heavens and earth out of nothing with the Holy Spirit shattering over the void of chaos, He created life. In the same way, He will create God in the womb of Mary, that fully God, fully man, Jesus Christ, can be born. Why is He holy? Because He's born of God. He doesn't have a father like John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit did a supernatural miracle that caused God to be born without a father and be born through a virgin, so that He is fully God, holy, sinless, can live this life on earth that we should have lived without sin, but He's also fully human. Why does that matter? Jesus quotes from in Hebrews 10, He says, therefore, when He comes into the world, He says, sacrifice and offering you've not desired, but a body you've prepared for me. Jesus sitting in heaven looks down, and all the sacrifices that God put in order in the law so that we could not just be annihilated and just destroyed from this earth and spend eternity in hell separated from God. These sacrifices that we continually in the Old Testament would bring before God to cover with blood the sins that we commit every day. Jesus says, as I look down, God says, none of them's pleasing to me. And Jesus says, but I come and you prepared a body for me, a human body. Why? So that I can be the sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. You know what it takes for us to live in God's story, to be invited to join in where He's working, to talk with God, to have an intimate, loving, ongoing relationship with God? Righteousness. And guess what? We don't have that. The Bible says in Romans 3, there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. Together they've all turned aside. There's none useful, none good. No, not even one. Do you know what Jesus did when He come to be buried, born on this earth? He brought the righteousness of God to man. And He took the sacrifices of man back to God so we could be forgiven. Fully God, we can become children of God. Because Jesus died for us. Because Jesus was without sin and died for us, we can have our sacrifice paid for everything that we've done wrong. That is what Luke is getting at right here. You know, two things that Luke doesn't give us much information about, and we preach them at two of the most religious weekends of the year. That's Christmas and Easter. Luke doesn't really give us any details how this happened, how she conceived. He doesn't really give us much details about the birth of how Jesus was born, nor does He give us much details about the resurrection, except what? Christ come to live the life that we deserved. He died and God raised Him to show that I have accepted the sacrifice that Jesus gave for each of you. That is the greatest gift of Christmas we'll have. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to live in God's story. Look around you. See what God is doing, and He invites you to join in. He wants to pursue a loving, lasting relationship with you. He wants you to live under Jesus' rule. If Jesus died for you to establish the kingdom of God on earth, and you have trusted Him for the forgiveness of your sins, you should also trust Him to tell you how to live and obey Him. And it must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. All about salvation and obeying God is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Mary is looking to live a life without fear. She wants her family. She wants the family to get along. She wants everybody to be happy. How many of y'all want that for Christmas? And then all of a sudden there's some hiccups. We had hiccups this morning with the music. It's nothing new. The more I get, I have the opportunity to work with sound, the more I know it only goes wrong when people start getting at church. You can try. Things go wrong. What do? I used to just get upset and run around like my head was on fire. But I've learned now, just pray and say, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do, but you'll work this out. And then you just change some things. You got to do what Mary did. When God asked you to join him in his work, first things happen, you got a crisis of faith. He's going to ask you to do more than you think you can do. He's going to ask you to do something you hadn't planned on doing. But you got to what? You got to say, how's this going to work out, Lord? And then you got to trust and you got to obey. When you trust and obey, you'll start experiencing God in your life. And this is what Mary says. Look how she closes this. Here's peace. Peace for your family, happiness. You can live without fear. She says, behold the bond slave. This word bond slave describes a female servant who kind of sells herself into servanthood to take care of herself. In other words, she might not have the means to support herself or her family from whatever reasons. She voluntarily submits to serve someone else. And that person takes care of them. This is what she says about God. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm yours. And then my favorite verse when it comes to discipleship. She said, may it be done to me according to your word. I don't know how you're going to work out the details, Lord. I can't even see it, but I'm trusting you. I'm going to do what your word tells me. And when we get to the end, I know you'll be completed my salvation. That is what she's saying. So this morning, would you be like Mary? If you're young, Mary's set an example for you. If you're older, God's not done with you. You know, I think sometimes we think the younger generation is taking over the church. They coming in. It's nothing else for me to do. It's always something for you to do. You know, I've often wondered where Mary got this idea about, Lord, let everything about your word be done to me. You know where she got it? From past servants of God who believed God and obeyed. She believed that there was not any word that would be impossible for God. She didn't have to live in fear. And I believe if she said this, she said it as she had read and heard Isaiah say, here I am, Lord, send me. Or Esther. As Esther was planning to intercede on behalf of God's people, she said, if I perish, I perish. The Bible clearly says she planned to go into the king. It says right there she won't allow to do that. That don't happen. People that go in like she's going in don't come back out. She says, Lord, I'm following you, your will. If I perish, I perish. Ruth said to Naomi, Naomi said, go back to your people. Ruth said, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Job said, though he may slay me, my hope is in God. And you know, 33 years after this, Mary will hear the disciples say, I was in the garden and I heard your son Jesus say, not my will, but your will be done. You know, every one of us should be setting an example for the next generation. Because if you read just a few more paragraphs, Mary is praising God. Because why? The same promises that come to her are established generation after generation. We should be a witness to others that nothing is impossible with God. Let us pray. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted God with your life, you've never surrendered to God and said, Lord, just whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to give up everything and follow you. If you've never done that, today could be the greatest day you've ever had in your life. It could also be the greatest Christmas season you ever experienced. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've not lived life your way. I believe that you come to this earth, lived the life that I should have lived. You died the death I deserved. You were my sacrifice. God raised you from the dead. I know that I can be forgiven and I can have new life with you. If you've prayed that this morning, you're saved. Tell somebody this afternoon. If you've been saved for a long time and you've trusted in Christ, you trust him with your life, but you just think you're too young to really serve God, to get busy for God, or you think you're too old. You've already done everything you can. It's just not many things left I can do. I want you to say this morning, Lord, may everything your word says be done to me. Say, Lord, help me see where you're working, and thank you for inviting me to join in. Lord, I want to hear you speak through prayer, through the Bible, through other believers, all through the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that I may know this loving, lasting relationship more intimately with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give Hope Revealed another big hand. I pray when y'all leave it here, you'll go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is Christ, that he is born. Amen. Any announcements, prayer requests, anything before we close? Yes. Jerry Cates, friend of mine, you long time ago, has cancer also. Hospice was called in to him. His neighbor went to see him Tuesday night, and they called me and said, we asked Jerry if there's anything we could do, and he says, would you ask Wesley to come see me? And Jerry accepted Christ the other afternoon when we was up there. And we're going back to speak with him some more this afternoon. So the Cates family, his wife's name is Lynn, so keep them in your prayers also. Anything else? Okay, 25 books down here. Get them, read them, tell somebody about them. Amen? And they're right down front. Thank you all again. Hey, if you got anybody that missed today, tell them in the parking lot, inside. It's going to be cold, so I doubt they want to sit under the porch at Cowboy Church. But we'll have it on the radio up there, and the radio reaches way out up there. I mean, folks are listening at their houses in the neighborhood. So Hope Reveal will be with us at 7 o'clock Tuesday night at Coolwater Cowboy Church also. Amen? Y'all give him another hand. Kind Father, we come before you and we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of life. And Lord, just the mystery or the secret of your revelation that continually unfolds in our life as we see how you intervene and act and call us and invite us into the work that you're doing. And we can see your grace being applied and poured out to other people. And Lord, just forgive us for the days that we don't pay attention to what you're doing and the missed opportunities of getting just little glimpses of your grace as you intervene. And Lord, we just pray now that this Christmas that you would use each of us to speak into the lives of the lost, into the lives of those who are believers, but it just might be going through difficult and dark times. Lord, I pray that you use us to bring Christmas joy to everyone we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to see you.